The following is a questions and answers session, part 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on December 24, 2014, in Melbourne, Australia.
Questions and answers are very much part of our culture. We see, for example, Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami. We also see Prabhupada has a book called Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. So, if we answer according to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, then our answers are perfect. So we simply have to be messengers on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and not concoctors. Just simply repeat what Prabhupada has said. And then we become perfect answerers. So please send perfect questions. And we will try to give perfect answers. How do you explain patience and complacency in Krishna consciousness? Patience means you wait, you have to patiently await achieving the perfection of Krishna Prema while you engage in devotional service. Complacency means you don't care, you're satisfied with whatever level of advancement that you have. There's a big difference. Be patient, but don't be complacent. Okay. How to please Radharani? By pleasing Krishna. And by pleasing Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. When I've spoken to non-devotees about the body, always changing every second, and therefore the assumption is we get a new body after death, they say just because this current body changes doesn't prove we get another one, just as our current one changes. Well, of course Krishna says that it does, but even scientifically the law of inertia says it as well. If the thing is in motion, it tends to stay in motion. That's the law of physics. So if you're moving at every minute from one body to the next, it's scientifically valid principle that you're just going to keep moving to another body, because you've been moving from body to body at every second. The old blood corpuscles are dying and the new blood corpuscles are taking the place. It's a scientifically valid principle, not just a scriptural principle, but a scientific principle, that what is in motion tends to stay in motion. So you've been moving body to body to body, so why would that all of a sudden stop? You see, there's no reason why it should stop. Okay. Next question. Can you please explain the types of liberation and the example of each type of liberation achieved by some devotees or so? I can let you, this can be researched in Prabhupada's books. There's Sayuja Mukti, which is emerging into Brahman. There's Sarupya Mukti, which is getting a form similar to the Lord's. There's Samipya, which is getting the same opulence as the Lord. There's Saloki, which is living on the same planet as the Lord. And there's Sarshti, which is, Samipya is becoming an associate of the Lord, right? And Sarshti is getting the opulence of the Lord. So I don't have I don't really have examples of those. You can do research for them. I know that we're going to get the planet of the Lord. We're going to get and be an associate of the Lord by this process. That's what matters to me. How will the spiritual master be revealed to a bhakta? And Prabhupada explains that if one is sincere about becoming Krishna conscious, then Krishna will send the guru to him. So you just have to be sincere, to become really sincere about surrendering to Krishna, and then Krishna will send your guru to you. You don't have to go looking for one. You just be sincere, and the guru will come to you.
It is also mentioned in Prabhupada, Krishna is the Chaitanya Guru within the heart. And then when he sees the sincerity of the disciple, he externally manifests as the
disciple. That's right. You already have Krishna within your heart as the Chaitanya Guru. So that same Krishna will manifest his external manifestation, the spiritual master, when you're really sincere to fully surrender to that Lord within your heart, He will manifest externally in the form of the spiritual master. So it's not a matter of finding a guru, it's a matter of being sincere. That's all. Be totally sincere about surrendering to Krishna, and then boom, there's your spiritual master.
The example is that the former devotees of Srila Prabhupada went to India to search for the guru.
Yeah, there's a nice example. Hayagriva Prabhu has written a wonderful book, which I really recommend. It's called The Hare Krishna Explosion, about the early days of ISKCON. It's really an exciting book. And he and a friend of his named Keith, who became Kirtanananda, they went to India looking for a guru, and they couldn't find one. And they came back to New York disappointed that we didn't find a guru. But they weren't ready for one. But then when they were ready, Prabhupada showed up in their neighborhood. And they understood this is our spiritual master. So we see many devotees divorcing and remarrying a few times. Is it authorized? These are not devotees of Krishna. These are devotees of their senses. Anyone who gets a divorce, they're violating the orders of Krishna. They're serving their senses instead of serving Krishna. How do we know that we are fully surrendered when not? Fully surrendered means that whatever my spiritual master asks me to do, I'll do it. That's it. If you do whatever your spiritual master, if you don't have a spiritual master, then you're not surrendered, because Krishna says you have to have a spiritual master. So when you have a spiritual master, you have to be willing to do whatever he tells you to do, and then you're fully surrendered. Otherwise, no. Please share some moments of view with Srila Prabhupada. Okay. I'll give one of my sweet moments, one of my treasured moments with Prabhupada. This was in the summer of 1971. And it was after the Ratha Yatra in San Francisco. We were back in Los Angeles. And there was a whole series of lectures. Probably there for like a... We were there for like a whole week with Srila Prabhupada. Wow, talk about nectar. Prabhupada's Bhagavatam class every day, and then initiating so many devotees. And then Prabhupada would chant the beads during the ceremony. So there was too many initiates to do it all in one ceremony. So we had a number of initiation yagas day after day after day. And Prabhupada had my hero, Vishnu Janaswami, give a lecture. I remember in one of the ceremonies. He had him give a lecture, and Prabhupada just sat and listened to him giving a lecture. That was very impressive to me. So, anyway, Prabhupada would go on his morning walk. You probably heard about Prabhupada's morning walks. So, he would go down to a place like Cheviot Hills Park or to Venice Beach. They would drive him to the temple. And then he would come back from the walk. And there was a really nice system where all the devotees would line up on the sidewalk. You see, Prabhupada's quarters were in the back, and there was an alley, and there was a sidewalk down the side of the building along the alleyway to his door in the back, and then he would go upstairs to his quarters there in the back of the building. So there was Prabhupada had quite a walk between, you know, from the street all the way up the sidewalk leading up to the temple and then around to the back. So devotees would line up along that sidewalk between the street and the temple building in a queue. And every devotee would be given a flower, and Prabhupada would have a basket of flowers, and he would come down the line and he would give you a, you would give him a flower and he'd give you a flower. Everybody got to have their own personal one-on-one with Prabhupada. Wow. It was really something. So I got near the front of the line. Vishnu Janaswami was at the very front, and he got a hug from Prabhupada. Wow. Prabhupada gave him a big hug. It was so nice. And I wasn't envious, because I was one of his men. I felt like I was getting hugged along with him just because I was one of his men. So anyway, I gave Prabhupada my flower, and he handed it back to me. And then, so what do you do with it? If you're a householder, you can go home and preserve it, you know, keep it somewhere in your apartment as a treasure, the flower that Prabhupada personally handed me. But if you're a brahmachari, you know, what can you do? You don't have any place to store it. You know, where are you going to store it? So I figured, well, I know where I can store it. I'll eat it. and I'll store it in my body. So I ate that flower that Prabhupada had handed me to purify my body, you see. So anyway, I'd eaten my flower, and now Prabhupada's going on down the line, you know, with all the flower exchanges. And so to see Prabhupada, to actually be in his presence, and to actually see his transcendental form with your eyes, is non-different from seeing Krishna. Just imagine if you could be in Goloka Vrindavan and seeing Krishna right now, how exciting that would be. Well, seeing Prabhupada is just, it's absolutely non-different from that. To see Krishna as pure devotee is the same thing as seeing Krishna face to face. So, I call it drinking Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. Okay? Drinking Srila Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. So, as he's moving down the line, I just want another darshan of my spiritual master. I wasn't even initiated yet, but I'd already accepted him as my guru. So I stood on the steps in front of the temple building, and Prabhupada's walking on. He's just finished giving out all the flowers. Now he's walking around to go to the back to his quarters. And he looks up and he sees me standing there on the steps. And he sees I'm not in line with the other devotees. So he was thinking, maybe he didn't get a flower yet. Prabhupada is so kind. I wasn't any leader. I was just some wild, I just shaved that former wild renegade hippie type character, just shaved up his head and off his long beard. And here I am in, saffron brahmacharya clothes and a shaved head, the big gleam in my eyes, looking at Prabhupada in bliss. And he looks up to me and he holds out a flower. Have you gotten a flower? Body language. Have you gotten a flower yet? Like this. You wanted to make sure I hadn't missed out on getting the flower. And I held up. Actually, I still hadn't eaten the flower yet. That's right. I still had it in my hand. I ate it later after that. So I held up the flower and I showed him, yes, I've gotten my flower already. And then he walked on. But that was so... Prabhupada so much endeared himself to me by that, taking that moment to make sure that I had gotten the flower, that I wasn't left out of the flower exchange. That was the kindness of Prabhupada. It was a huge crowd of devotees, but he singled me out and just wanted to make sure I'd gotten that flower. I never forgot that. So that's one of my sweetest moments with Prabhupada. When should a bhakta start deity worship at home in the grihastha ashram? You don't have to do deity worship at home. It's better if you can just have some photographs and come here and worship the deities here, and attend the temple functions. If you're too far away and you really want to have some deities, then get Gaura-Nithai. Because Gaura-Nithai can be neglected. Whenever you want to come to the temple, you can just leave them and there's no problem. If you have other deities like Jagannath or Radha Krishna, then you're more obliged to always do their seva every day without fail, no matter what. Even if you're traveling, you have to carry them with you. So we recommend, especially for new devotees, Gaura-Nithai or just photographs for your worship. Where do desires come from? They come from your heart, because you are a desirer by nature. If one guru departs his current material body before a disciple receives second initiation, can the disciples get second initiation from another guru? Yes, you can. Simply have to approach the other spiritual master and get the recommendation from your local temple president. And then you can get your second initiation from one of the godbrothers of your spiritual master. Why does the Lord sanction such terrible things to happen to his devotees? Aurangzeb, when he destroyed many Krishna temples and harassed the Vaishnavas. Krishna sometimes puts his devotees into apparent difficulties simply to increase their feelings of love. So actually for the devotee, there's no such thing as a difficulty. It may appear to be a difficulty. But for a devotee, everything that happens to him is his loving relationship with Krishna becomes deeper and sweeter and more blissful. How do you need to chant 16 rounds? Yes, we do, because without it we won't go back to Godhead. Apart from following the instructions of Guru, how important it is to personally serve the spiritual master. The thing is, When your spiritual master is physically present, you should take every opportunity to serve him, because that helps you to connect with his instructions. There's two aspects of the spiritual master. One is vani, that's his instructions. The other is vapu, that is his physical form. Now the physical form will sometimes, some swami, even when the spiritual master is in this world, sometimes his form is present, sometimes it's not when he's out traveling and preaching. But his instructions are always present. So the instructions are the better way to connect with him. But because we're still neophytes, we should take the opportunity to associate with his physical presence and serve it, because that will help us to connect with his instructions. Apart from following the instructions of Guru, oh, I just answered that one, okay. Can you please share an amazing memory of your association with Yashojana Swami? I answered that one last night. That one's come up again. Somebody wants another one? Well?
We have a lot of questions.
So I'll see if there's some time at the end. Because we already answered them that last night. Okay. Can you please explain the significance of Srila Prabhupada's position? Prabhupada's the founder Acharya of ISKCON. Everything we do is based on his teachings. The gurus of ISKCON are only gurus by purely representing Srila Prabhupada. If they don't represent him, they're not bona fide spiritual masters. His word is law. His teachings are the authoritative thing. Somebody else may have their opinion, but if it differs from Prabhupada, it's rejected, it's bogus. Prabhupada's words are law. And the bona fide spiritual master in ISKCON, he has to be a transparent representative of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. If he's subtracting or adding to Prabhupada's teachings something different, he's not a bona fide spiritual master. Can you please speak about the court case going on about Riptics? I don't know anything about it. Although I do know they're trying to get I do know about in Bangalore, the Riptics, through forgery, they stole an ISKCON temple through forgery. And there's a court case going on. We're trying to get that temple back because they stole the temple from ISKCON by forgery. In Bangalore, there's a big temple on the hill there that was stolen by the Riptics by forgery. I don't know how it's going. What is your view on Krishna West? Actually, there's a song in Christianity called "In Christ There Is No East or West." So actually, in Krishna there is no East or West. Krishna is not that there's a Western Krishna and an Eastern Krishna. So I don't think we need to think that there's Krishna West, and there's two different Krishna consciousness movements, the Krishna West and Krishna East. No, Krishna is Krishna universe, the universal Krishna. We don't need Krishna West and Krishna East. There's one Krishna, and he's the same Krishna in the West and the same Krishna in the East. We don't have a separate Krishna for the West. His name is Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. He's not, what is it, Paschacha? Paschachana, the Lord of the West. Okay, what is the fastest way to make advancement on the path of Krishna consciousness, to attain the ultimate goal, Krishna prema, and to realize one's sthayabhav? As I said last night, the tripod. You see? Take shelter of Guru, get initiated by Guru, and obey Guru. You do those three things, you're solid, you're going to make very rapid advancement on the pathway. But sometimes they say, but Gurudev, that order is not my propensity. You're making a mistake, Gurudev. You can't tell me to do that because it's not my propensity. You're trying to play the spiritual master, you see. You can't do that. You have to be obedient to your spiritual master. And that's how you become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Not by telling your guru what he can order you to do and what he cannot order you to do. In your e-course, you have criticized Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, and Martin Luther.
I did?
Oh, God, that sounds pretty controversial, doesn't it? I don't remember that. They keep saying that they have done nothing to change the world. Don't you think they had a role in fighting injustice and racism? Yeah, exactly how what I stated, I don't remember. But it's a fact that social reformers, although they may have some temporary benefit to, you know, encourage society to become more sattvic, but in the ultimate issue, they don't have any impact for delivering anybody from the sufferings of this material world because they themselves were not delivered. I mean, I certainly respect these people, especially Nelson Mandela. He came to our temple. He offered obeisances to Prabhupada. And he's a very pious man. I respect him. I preached in South Africa. I was there when he departed. I was in South Africa when he departed. So we saw all the things on the television or something, all of the funeral. I mean, I respect him. I appreciate these people, especially Nelson Mandela, because he liked our movement. He very much appreciated our movement. But if you look in South Africa tonight, it's a hellish mess. He didn't turn that place into Vaikuntha. I mean, there's so much crime there, it's unbelievable. It's a very wild place.
The highest welfare means that you can educate or you can deliver one from the cycle of birth.
Yeah, that's right.
The welfare.
Yeah. It's a temporary thing. It's like blowing on a boil. Look, I mean, how many people did Mahatma Gandhi deliver back to God then? You see? And Martin Luther King, how many people he delivered back to God then? I mean, there was some... I mean, the blacks in America got so-called racial equality, but there's still... The racism they're still just as disturbed by racism now as they were before the Civil Rights Act was passed. There's big racism agitation still going on in the U.S. It didn't change, in spite of all of their efforts, the Civil Rights Movement. I was a supporter of the Civil Rights Movement myself back in the old days. I was an activist to a certain extent. So I appreciated these movements, but Prabhupada also was the father of Gandhi. But ultimately, he gave up Gandhi's movement because he saw that it's irrelevant for actually addressing the true needs of the living beings, and he fully absorbed himself in serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, I want to fully engage in the service of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada's mission without any second thought. I don't jive. Thank you. I don't want anything except serving Krishna, but I'm only one son. My father passed away, and the mother is about 70 years. I don't want to marry. Please suggest me, my mother and me, to get something. Mercy. This is an individual darshan. We have to know all the details of the situation. I just can't give a blanket answer. This requires a personal darshan. Which one is more pivotal, hearing the shastras or reading the shastras? Hearing is actually the most important thing. But reading is also important. But the most important thing is hearing. That's why it's more important to attend the classes than it is to study on your own. Why common sense nowadays becomes so uncommon? Because people have become slaves of their senses. If there's any questions from our internet audience, you can post it on the chat window. I watched a movie which asked questions on deity worship and also mocked the Hindu gods like Lord Shiva. I'm a bit disturbed since I saw that movie. What should my mood as a neophyte be? Don't watch the movies. Why are you polluting yourself? You have a much better movie theater in your heart. It's called Krishna's Pastimes. It's called Mystic Television by Prabhupada. If you will go deep, deep, deep into Nama, into chanting Hare Krishna, that day will come and you'll have a cinema within your heart fully activated, and you can see Krishna's pastimes going on live in full color and stereo sound in your heart. And you can even jump into them when you get to the high enough level and be a part of them, as Vipamangala Thakur did when he was living for 700 years in Vrindavan. How to deal with a separation of after a breakup, even while chanting, if your mind still keeps thinking about it, and then maybe a separation of something after a breakup, like it sounds like a love affair. So these love affairs of this material world, they're not very satisfying. Just give your love to Krishna. You will never, there'll be no more breakups. Why Prabhupada started his journey in the West so late, at the age of 69. Prabhupada very humbly said that he should. This is Prabhupada's humility, but I just heard the lecture half an hour ago. Prabhupada said, "I was in 1922, I could have joined immediately, but he said, but Maya is there." That's what Prabhupada said in all humility. It was actually Krishna's plan, but Prabhupada's showing himself as a conditioned soul. He said, Maya is there, so I didn't join immediately.
Huh? Prabhupada told one person about the starting, why they also asked, why did you come so late?
Because you weren't ready, yeah. No, it was Krishna's plan. Prabhupada is humbly presenting himself as a conditioned soul. The great Vaishnavas do that. Prabhupada said there was never a time I did not forget, I did not remember Krishna. He was asked by a reporter, what age did you realize God? He said, the age of 5, I realized God. So Prabhupada was just, that was his humility. This was Krishna's arrangement. If you look at the time, when, if Prabhupada had come early, we can speculate, but the thing is, the hippie movement was a prime time for Prabhupada to come. Before that, it may not have worked. When Prabhupada came, the hippie movement was just taking off like a rocket. And you have all these young boys and girls who rejecting, in fact, one of the popular songs of the hippies was, come mothers and fathers throughout the land, your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. So that was one of the theme songs of the hippies. And we were looking for a new world, a new culture. It's like as a young hippie character, I was thinking, we have to make a spiritual revolution on this planet. It's the only thing that can solve the problems of the world. This world needs a spiritual revolution. As a hippie, I was thinking that. The purpose of my life is to be part of a spiritual revolution. I was thinking that way, you see. So I wasn't the only one. Somehow or other, actually, Dhanavir Maharaj told me that Prabhupada was asked, what was that movement? Why did that whole countercultural hippie thing happen? Prabhupada said that was Krishna's arrangement to help me get my movement started. So it really was, and you had all these young people who were rejecting what we call the establishment. The establishment is bad. We used to call them pigs, actually. the non-hippie people, they were all the pigs. We call them pigs because we saw the civilization was crazy. It didn't make any sense. We have to find a new. There has to be a new culture now. That somehow we can create a new culture based on love and peace and spiritual enlightenment. Many of us were thinking that way too. So Prabhupada came just. Krishna arranged, he came just at the perfect time when there were thousands and thousands of young people in their 20s who had come, they had all material facilities, but they rejected it. We don't need material facilities. We need some higher consciousness. So it was Krishna's arrangement when Prabhupada came at that time. Just the perfect time for him to come. Is it possible to conquer one's mind without getting initiated in diksha? Well, you can conquer it enough to decide you need to get initiated. you decide you need to get initiated, you're conquering your mind. How to develop determination for getting up at sunrise and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? No, you have to get it before sunrise. By going to bed early and setting those alarm clocks very loudly. I have heard from people that there is a group of very rich families from the secret society that controls the governments and have so much power, and they control and exploit the population. What is your opinion on this? I don't give it a lot of credence. In the Advaita philosophy of non-duality, propounded by Adi Shankara, is it Brahmavad or Mayavad? It's actually both. It facilitates both. Shankaracharya is considered the propounder of Mayavadi philosophy. So, and it is Brahmavad. Mayavad is also Brahmavad. So the question is Shankaracharya himself actually a Mayavadi? No, he's not. He's actually a Vaishnava, but he was propounding this philosophy to attract the Buddhists to come back to Vedic culture. And he said at the end, Bajragovindam Bajravogin Bajragovindam Bajravindam Mudhamate. He told his followers, now you should worship Govinda. Your grammatical knowledge and Vrindavanam will not save you at the time of death. What is the prerequisite to bhakti life? Favorable faith, or in the process, or the mercy of the Lord? Well, favorable faith is the mercy of the Lord. If you find yourself having faith in this process, that is the mercy of the Lord. Apart from the Gita, which Upanishads are the key Upanishads for Gaudiya Vaishnava? Sri Ishapanishad is very, very important. That's why Prabhupada translated it. Where is the exact scriptural reference to the point that the jiva descends to the material world because he becomes envious of Krishna in the spiritual world? It's in the canto that talks about Maharaj Rahugana. You send me an email, I'll give you the exact quotes. Send an email to sda@backtohome.com. Let's see if we have any questions from our... here we have from Romania. How can one develop a relation with the devotee who is always morose? By cheering them up. In one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, if you please the senses of Krishna, Krishna will take control over your senses. How can we please the senses of Krishna? There's so many ways. You can go, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That will please Krishna. His ears will be very pleased. And Krishna can also hear with his eyes, he can hear with any one of his senses. So you can actually please every one of Krishna's senses simply by even his tongue, just by chanting Hare Krishna, because his senses are all interchangeable. How do we get liberation from materialistic bondage when the world today is materialistic? By joining the Krishna consciousness movement. That's it. What is the role of emotions or sentiments in Krishna consciousness? They are all meant to be connected with Krishna. Is there any line that separates sentiments from sahajas? Yes. There are bona fide sentiments. Prabhupada, you can see. Things, if one wants to make a show of sentiment, that's sahaja. It's like they were in the kirtan, they get really enlivened. Oh wow, they're in so much bliss, they start crying. And then they go, wow, just see, I'm in the bhava stage. And they walk around so everybody can see their tears on their face. They make sure everybody can see their tears. That's sahaja, you see. But if one actually feels, Prabhupada said, this is the crying in the kirtan is the crying of the soul. such sentiments are bona fide. But if you want to make a show of them for thinking, oh yes, now I've achieved Bhav, that's Sahajism. We're getting a little sneak preview of spiritual emotions sometimes. We're not on the Bhava stage yet. Are we seeing Krishna consciousness being dwindling in the Western world because we do not see many Western devotees these days when compared to the 60s and 70s? Yes, our movement has become a bit recessed in the Western countries. It's a fact. We're gaining in the East and losing in the West right now. So the revival is coming. It's going to be a big revival all over the world. It's coming. The whole world is going to take to this movement. It's coming. It's going to be a big, huge revival all over the world. Thousands and millions of people are going to come to Krishna consciousness. Just wait and see. Most of the Hindus have belief in God, but how different is it from having faith in Krishna? Well, it depends. Some Hindus say, yes, Krishna is God. Some say, I'm God, you're God, and we're all God. Or all the demigods are God. There's a big difference. I have just started coming to the temple regularly. Well, Jai, thank you very much. That's wonderful. We're so happy you're coming regularly. Jai, that's wonderful. So I'm not ready for this tripod. Okay. He's not ready. That's all right. Just come in here and here and here and here, and that will naturally become ready. It'll happen naturally. Yeah, in the beginning you have to spend some time. You're really learning the philosophy, understanding, experiencing the holy name. And the tripod of shelter, diksha, and obedience will come in due course. Just keep coming and associating, taking advantage of this process. When I come to the temple, I appreciate this movement and I like the lectures, but when I go to other societies, I like their teachings too. How do I justify which one is good and true? We really have to get into particulars, because sometimes, this requires a personal darshan again, to discuss exactly what teachings you're talking about. Because there are certain teachings that you hear everywhere. But when it comes to practical application, no one comes close to ISKCON. No one comes close. Now a question from Hungary. Within our heart, and let's see, I think he's broken it up into two. Okay. How can we always feel the presence of the spiritual master within our heart, and how to take shelter of him, especially when we are in difficulty? The spiritual master and his instructions are one and the same. So if you take those instructions and you worship them as your very life and soul, that will capture your spiritual master and keep him tightly imprisoned within your heart. And especially in difficulties, by the way, are a special blessing. Don't have an aversion to difficulties. Learn the art of relishing difficulties as the sweetest nectar. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. So take advantage of it. It's a time to toughen yourself up and bhakti become more strong. You see, difficulties are the greatest blessing. So learn to relish the difficulties as the greatest blessing. What is the importance of the association of the devotees? Krishna says, unless you're a devotee of the devotees, you're not my devotee. So that's how important it is. You said increase your love for Krishna, but my question is, how do I increase that? By its service. The more you serve Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, bowing down to Krishna, serving Krishna, the more you absorb yourself in Krishna, the more your love for him will naturally awaken and you become purified and uplifted. Is the reaction of karma different Let's see. For a materialistic person and a devotee, yes, there's a big difference. A devotee only gets a token reaction. Now, this is someone who has begun the process. He's taken initiation. The vast majority of his karma, it's 99.99 cents taken off, but there's a little token of karma still coming to even the initiated disciple. That is to help him to remember this material world as a suffering place, and I have to get out of here. The example is given of a fan. When you pull the plug on a fan, a whirling fan, do not the blades turn for some time? Yes, they do. So when you get initiated, then you're pulling the plug out, and the fan is going to wind to a stop. But there's still that momentum from the previous whirling, which will keep the blade whirling for some time. So that residual karma, that token residual karma, is Krishna's special mercy to help the devotee be sober and realize, I have to get out of this material world. I can't slack off, because now I'm freed from all of my karma. Now I can just coast and enjoy myself. No, you have to be diligent to keep those senses under control. Yes?
But we do approve more karma also, because we are not strict on following the Krishna Bhakti path.
If one deviates from the instructions of the spiritual master, violates the principles, doesn't keep your vows, then you're plugging the fan back in again. So don't plug the fan back in. Always chant your rounds and always follow the regulated principles. What are your instructions to your disciples generally? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Most of Srila Prabhupada's direct disciples would leave their physical presence sooner or later. Why only Prabhupada's disciples? Everybody's going to leave their physical presence sooner or later. Is there any exceptions? We're all going to leave sooner or later. There's a 100% death rate here in Melbourne. sooner or later, then where, how all are verily Prabhupada's instructions on how to continue running ISKCON? Well, it's in the books. It's in the letters. You can get the Veda base. You can get the Veda base. You go to krishna.com and order the Veda base for $100. You can get the Veda base, and you can put it in your computer, and you got all of it right there. The letters, the lectures, the conversations, and the books are all right. I have it in my computer. I use it all the time. I research it constantly. When people ask questions, I look it up in the Veda base, and I get exact quotes from Prabhupada. So the Veda base is a great resource. I mean, politics or policies, guidelines, etc. There's so many practical things from Prabhupada on policies and guidelines in the Veda base. Is there any formal course structure needed to educate newcomers about Srila Prabhupada's vision and desires? Well, there are formal courses now being introduced. Just like if you want to get initiated, anytime after coming Janmashtami, if you want to get initiated, you have to take the disciples course. And it's a very nice course. I just took it myself just to see what it was like. It's a very nice course. You can take it, maybe offer locally, but I think Aniruddha teaches it. Yeah. So whenever it comes, maybe if you're not ready for initiation yet, go ahead and take the course, because when you want to get initiated, you have to have that certificate that you took the course. So everybody should take the course, the disciples course. It's a very good training course. I don't want to see ISKCON becoming just as a normal traditional religious institution. What can I do to stop that? So, by being in the mood to make a revolution on this planet, the mood that Prabhupada taught us to be in, keep that revolutionary mood. Often you say in Thought for the Day that the spiritual master is obliged to stay in the material world unless all his disciples are delivered to the spiritual world. This sounds scary to me. Can you please throw some light on this? I'm taking my flashlight and shining it on the paper for those who are on the internet. Prabhupada said that. And what's scary about it? Maybe if you're a guru, it might be scary. But for the disciple, wow, it's great. You know, if I'm in trouble, my spiritual master is going to stick around to save me. What's scary? If you're a guru, it's going to be scary. But for a guru, he's not scared. For a guru, he's already taken complete shelter of Krishna. And for the guru, it doesn't matter if he's in the material world or the spiritual world, because he's always in the protection of Krishna's lotus feet at every minute. Whatever Krishna wants him to do, he doesn't care. He can be in Goloka Vrindavan, he can be in Patala Loka. It doesn't matter the spiritual master, because he's under the lotus feet of Krishna. He's not scared. Why are you should be scared? He's not scared.
He's not scared. Disciples should be scared.
The disciples should be scared that I do not want to put my spiritual master under the obligation to take birth again to save me. The disciples should have that fear. I don't want to inconvenience my spiritual master, and I'm making him deliver me from a brothel. Prabhupada gave that example one time. Often I have been hammered in lots of lectures that too much association of the spiritual master is not good. There is such a thing, Prabhupada warns us, familiarity breeds contempt. And I remember my godbrother Satsarupa Maharaj. He was Prabhupada's personal, I guess he was the secretary. And he knew that he was in a very special, was a very special position to be so close to Prabhupada. And he knew there's a tendency, if you're too much close to the spiritual master, to see him as an ordinary man. So sometimes he would get away just for a few minutes when there was a break in his service. He would just get away from that scene to remind himself, you see. Now this is the supreme personality of servitor of Godhead. This is not an ordinary person. There is a tendency, and too much physical association can make you forget. But if one is very, very careful to always remind oneself, I'm dealing with the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, and not an ordinary jiva soul, then there's no harm to have a lot of association. And it's very beneficial. I want to fully engage in the service of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada's mission without any second thought. Let's see. Did I answer that? Except serving Krishna. But I'm only... Oh, I already answered that one. Okay. We say that there is no restriction in chanting the Maha Mantra. So why do we say that it's good to chant before sunrise? You can chant 24 hours a day, but I was just saying there's more potency before sunrise. There is no restriction, but you get more. You can use the modes of nature to your advantage to help you go deeper into Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why only this Hare Krishna mantra should be chanted? Can you please get Shastic reference? We never said you can only chant this. There's nowhere it says you can only chant this Hare Krishna mantra. We're chanting other mantras. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasudhi Gaudabhrung Bhaktabhinda. So many verses and shlokas from the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We never say you can only chant Hare Krishna, but we especially chant Hare Krishna because it is Maha Mantra. It is the most potent mantra for delivering one from the influence of the age of Kali, as confirmed in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. I am able to stop eating meat and drinking, but I feel very hard to overcome this sex activity. And I very quickly get carried away with this. Yes, thank you for your honesty. A lot of people have trouble with lust. It's a fact. But try to understand what lust means. It means I'm identifying with this body. You see? I'm thinking I'm male, and look, there's a female over there. Or I'm thinking I'm female, and look, oh, there's that male over there. This is bodily consciousness. You have to realize that's not you. You're not that material body. You're not male, you're not female, you're not that body. So as soon as you indulge in sexual escapades, even subtly, you're bringing yourself right back into the bodily concept. So don't do that. That's why we separate the men and the women here in the room, you see. So not you can think, let me snuggle close to that girl over there. Maybe I can hold her hand or something. You know, we have separate side of the room. So we to curb down that kind of tendency. So Vedic culture actually separates the men and the women for the most part. Because this tendency is there in us. It's a strong tendency to want to enjoy the opposite sex. Even Prabhupada set out 50 years ago, of course this would be like about 90 years ago now, in Bengal, at night the men and women would sleep in different parts of the house. The women would sleep in the inner quarters and the men in the outer quarters. Even at night they would sleep in separate rooms, you see. So this separation of the sexes is actually very healthy. Prabhupada calls it fire and butter. Yeah, if the butter gets close to the fire, what happens? It melts. So women are like fire and men are like butter. So you keep the butter in a cool place in the fridge. You see, it's a very important principle. We don't want to be carried away by Kamadeva. He's flying around with those little quiver of arrows, you know, Cupid, you know, shooting arrows in the heart. Don't fall prey to Cupid's arrows. It will mess up your Krishna consciousness. You have to have a Cupid-proof heart by going deep into Nama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I sincerely want to come to the bhakti platform, but there is something that is making me not to progress. It's your attraction to the opposite sex. So try to understand that Krishna is more attracted than the opposite sex. And just try to follow, give all your love to Krishna. You'll be satisfied. How can we serve Prabhupada without being a pure devotee? Serve him as an impure devotee and you become a pure devotee. You can offer a flower to him. The best thing is go out and distribute his books. Distribute Prabhupada's books is the best thing you can do. How can one materialistic person serve Prabhupada? I just told you. Okay, now the last question. Let's see if there's any more from the internet here.
Prabhupada. Huh? They can serve Prabhupada's mission in four different ways.
Four different ways to serve the mission, okay?
Yeah. It's by intelligence,
mind, words, intelligence, and life. Yeah, that's a very good point. You can give your whole life to Prabhupada, you see. That's the best thing. You can give your whole life to him. Just like we have our brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. They are in the sannyasi. They've given their whole life to serve Prabhupada's mission. 24 hours a day. It's nothing but serving Prabhupada's mission. That's the best thing you can do. If you can't do that, then give your money. Because money is as dear as life in this material world, so you give as much money as you can. And if you don't have any money, maybe you have a friend who has some money. Convince him to give a donation for some project. You see, that's called intelligence. I don't have any money, I'm very poor, but I have a friend who's rich, so I'll convince him to give some money to the temple. You see? Or maybe you don't have any intelligence, you don't have any wealthy friends, well, at least give your words. Tell people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, everybody can do some service. Okay, so let's see. Another question from Kashmir. How to help a devotee who is giving up his hope and enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness? Well, just be very kind to that devotee. Be very kind in encouraging him, telling him how wonderful it is, Krishna consciousness. Remind him This is actually the only way you can find true happiness in this world is by awakening your Krishna consciousness. This material world is simply a place of misery. And the only way you can achieve true happiness is to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, to tell him sometimes it's not easy. The neophyte devotee goes through difficult times. You just have to weather the storm and get to the destination. If you're sailing across the ocean and you hit a storm, are you just going to go ahead and drown and give up? Or are you going to fight it out and get that ship through the storm and achieve your destination? You see? So, in this way. Okay. I feel very embarrassed to go on book distribution. Can I serve Prabhupada in other ways? The best thing to do is go out, embarrassed or not, do it, and you get over the embarrassment. That's the best thing.
Huh? So much service they can do with the temple service.
Yeah, there's many other services you can do. It's a thing. But
Prasadam distribution
is there. Do other things, but Prabhupada wants you. He said everyone should join the Sankirtan party as soon as possible. So try to. Prabhupada will allow other things. You can do other things. You can set garlands. You can sweep the floor. There's so many things you can do. But if you really want to taste the sweetest nectar, go out with the devotees who are distributing books and learn how to do that. It's the sweet, absolutely the highest, sweetest nectar you can relish.
Isn't there other services are also facilitating them?
Or if you can't do that, then do service to help the book distributors. If you can't directly go out, just like, you know, or do something to help them from behind, be a support person to help them. If you can't directly go, then try to support them in some way, to help them do that. That's another thing. In ISKCON, devotees, before taking initiation, they serve Prabhupada by offering prasadam and Srila Prabhupada, follow his instructions, and so on. Even after initiation, Guru Maharaj in our society will only give instructions which are spoken by Srila Prabhupada. Even Ritviks do the same. They follow Prabhupada, then why do we call them Ritviks? Okay. What's the difference between a Ritvik and an ISKCONer? It's a fact we're all agreeing that we should serve Prabhupada. The difference is this. Prabhupada said that after he departs, he will no longer personally initiate anyone, that his disciples will take up the role and they will become regular gurus. The Ritviks say, no, Prabhupada, everyone will become initiated as Prabhupada's disciple. But Prabhupada told us on October 18th, 1977, now I will no longer initiate. So they're saying, Prabhupada, we don't care if you said you're no longer initiating. We say that you are initiating, Srila Prabhupada. You see, they're defying his instructions. He said that after my departure, even before he departed, he said, now I will stop initiating. On October 18th, which was about like 2 weeks before he departed, he said, now, no more, I'm not initiating anymore. That's it, finished. And he said, now my disciples, they will take it up. You see? They will take up, they will become gurus. That was his order. The Ritviks say no. I had a debate on the internet with the head Ritvik. He's a fellow in the UK. His name is Krishnakant Desai. He was a member of our Bhaktivedanta youth forum at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. And he had a thing. He didn't want to respect anyone as an authority. He was a Gujarati boy. He refused to call his parents mother and father. He called them by their first name. He insisted on calling his parents by their first names. Even in America, I call them mom and dad. I never call them, you know, Lauren and Carolyn. I wouldn't even dream of such a thing. But he insisted on calling his parents by their first name. This is the head Ritvik guy. He doesn't want to take any authority higher than himself. Therefore, he's pushing for this idea. He wants to be the guru of ISKCON. That's what he's trying to do by a roundabout way. He wants to be the head authority in this movement. And he's an expert word juggler, like a lawyer. Very expert at word juggling. And he's got a lot of followers. And stupid people, less intelligent people are following him. He's got a magazine called Back to Prabhupada. And this magazine is nothing but blasphemy against ISKCON gurus. Every issue... They blast, you know, one issue they're blaspheming, one guru, another issue. And I was also been blaspheming a few times. I said I was waiting. I was very unhappy because my disciples don't pick me up in a Rolls Royce. That's what they said about me. Now I asked my disciples, have I ever complained you didn't pick me up in a Rolls Royce? I have a chauffeur here, actually. This is my chauffeur. And he doesn't have a Rolls Royce. Did I ever complain you're not picking me? This is my chauffeur. He picks me up at the airport. I never complain to him, why did you bring me a Rolls Royce? But the Ritvix made this false propaganda that I'm agitated and angry and frustrated that the disciples don't pick me up in a Rolls Royce car. They made all this lying propaganda. That's what they say about me, you see. So it's all based on this. They're just envious. They don't want to take as authorities the disciples of Prabhupada. They want to be the authorities instead of accepting Prabhupada's order that his disciples should be gurus after his departure.
So how they are following Srila Prabhupada when they are disobeying the first principle of offense of chanting the holy name?
They are not following Srila Prabhupada.
No, I'm saying how they are following of the chanting of japa.
They are offenders against Vaishnavas. They are aparadhis. They are offenders. Therefore, their association should be avoided. They are offenders. Unless you can convert them. I converted one of them now. One of them is my disciple in India. I converted him. He argued Ritvic philosophy to me, and I defeated him, and he surrendered and became my disciple. But that's pretty rare. So anyway, we got one. Actually, it's time is up. And amazing, huh?
According to Srila Prabhupada, they're disobeying Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
By the initiation, and plus the person who is studying this ritual system, he's personally not initiated by anybody nor Prabhupada.
Yeah, yeah, he's not initiated by any ritual guru. So-called ritual gurus. We could go on more of the details of that, but I don't know if I want to right now. But there's one last question we're going to save to the end, and this is another amazing pastime with Vishnu Janaswamy. If I can remember, just pull one up here real quick. It's a little lub jamun at the end. What I remember is we had a little. We were a small little center there in Austin, Texas, on Dancy Street, and we just had a little. We had a little tiny photograph of Panchatattva on the altar, very simple little altar. And none of us knew anything. We were all brand new recruits, and we didn't know anything about the prayers, how to lead the kirtans, nothing. We were all just completely brand new. No one knew how to lead the kirtan, no one knew how to offer the arati. So Vishnu Janaswamy, he would offer the arati and lead the kirtan. The Gavastakam prayers were so beautiful. And it would just carry you to Vaikuntha. And then a letter came from Prabhupada confirming it. He told in this letter to Vishnu Janaswamy, he said, when you were leading the kirtan, I could feel how I was being carried to Vaikuntha. So he had the quality in that kirtan, he could actually carry you to the spiritual world by his kirtan. Confirmed by Srila Prabhupada and experienced by those of us who were there with him at the time. So we'll go ahead and stop here, and we thank you all very much for your participation in question and answer session number 2. So we hope to see as many of you as possible tomorrow morning. No one goes to work. We're going to have a Maha Srimad Bhagavatam class tomorrow at 7:05. Everyone pack in, bring your neighbors, bring your friends, bring your prime minister. Let's have the ultimate Bhagavatam class tomorrow morning. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And now that my disciples have published a book of my writings called Truth Works, if you'd like to get a copy, come on up and get one right here. Get a written blessing, personal written blessing from me if you take one tonight. Hare Krishna.